everyone. Welcome to Yachting International Radio. You're with Karen Rayson from the Crew Coach on the Wellbeing Project. Today, I have Valerica with us. Unfortunately, her camera isn't working, so we will have her present in an audio fashion. I've never done this before, talking to a black screen, but we'll just roll with it and see what happens. Welcome, Valerica.
Oh, thank you very much for having me today. Thank you.
My pleasure. And thank you so much for your courage as well, because we're talking about a very sensitive topic today, and that is the topic of grief. As a lot of you are aware, we have lost Gemma as a result of cervical cancer, and everyone is going through their own unique grieving process, whether it's with Gemma or if it's been in the past with someone else. And I think this is a really valuable conversation to have, whether it's for now or in the future. I've created a PDF download on how you can formulate your own grief ritual. So if this is something that you're interested in, do get in touch and I'll send it over to you. But Valerica is wanting to share kindly her experience to help others. So Valerica, what have you, in terms of grief, what is your understanding of grief and how have you worked through it?
Right. Well, let's say, first of all, who I lost, because I think it's very important. I lost my mother to cancer. That happened 5.5 years ago. So even though it sounds a long time ago, it really isn't. So grief for me was obviously a storm at the beginning, because you feel like you're drowning, you can't breathe, sometimes you can't talk. Certainly it feels like you can't live anymore. It's physical pain, emotional chaos, and it's very difficult to go through it by yourself. And for me, that was a fact, and it was very clear from the beginning. My understanding of grief now is that grief is an opportunity for self-development. You have to embrace your emotions. You have to embrace the pain, because there is no other way to work through it. It's very difficult, as I said, to do it by yourself. So my suggestion would be work with a professional if you have the chance. If you don't feel like it will help, ask for help from your family or from your friends or from your captain or head of department if you are navigating, if you are working.
So Valerica, initially, did you try to deal with it yourself and then ask for help? How did you go about it?
No, because unfortunately, I had a past of depression, so I was used to therapy. So when my mother was diagnosed with brain tumour, we knew she had 6 months left. So my first reaction was to ask for help. And at the time, I was based in Mallorca, and in Mallorca, there is a cancer support group. So I called them up and I asked if there was something, somebody who could help me or somebody I could actually do, maybe part of a group, being part of a group, or, you know, I didn't really know how to work this through. And they told me there are two options. One was a therapist in English, and the other one was in Spanish. So I, you know, obviously I choose the English speaking therapist, and we started working before my mum passed, and that helped a lot, even though I have to say nobody is ever ready for that. When the moment comes, you're not ready, but you can work to build up some tools to understand how you can use your tools to go through grief, because as I said, it's not an easy journey, but it is a journey, and you have to take it as a journey, because it will lead you somewhere, and usually it's a good place.
Yes, and very interesting to note that For some people, the idea of doing therapy can be so overwhelming because you don't know what to expect. It's the unknown, obviously, if you've never done it before. Yeah. And being a counselor myself, I can get complacent because it's my comfort zone. So when I talk about therapy, I might neglect to highlight what the experience is like. But I think it's more important for the person who is actually going for sessions to describe what it's like, so you can hear it from, it's the horse's mouth per se. So Valerica, if you had to explain to someone the idea of therapy and what it's like to sit in a session, how would you describe it?
I would say it's a very safe place. It's a non-judgmental place. So you are safe to say whatever crosses your mind, basically. And that's very important, not just for grief. Because to be 100% honest, sometimes I would have gone there, sit there, look at my therapist, start talking about something else. Because grief forces us to feel and lead the moment, the present. Sometimes we don't in our lives. So when you're forced to live the moment, live the present, it changes your perception of the past as well. So, and it changes your priorities, of course. So sometimes you go there and you sit down and you start talking about something else. And, and you work through different emotions. And sometimes you feel they're not related to grief, but they really are. It's, as I said, it is a journey, but it's a safe environment. It's a non-judgmental environment, and it's very important that you feel that way. If you don't feel safe, if you don't feel comfortable, and if you feel like your therapist is judging you, then you have to change therapist, because it's not you haven't clicked. You don't feel like he or she can help you. And that's very important. But I changed therapies many times in my life, unfortunately. But it's normal. And that's, you can't really go to a session the first time and because you feel that it can work, you start doing your therapy. You have to feel comfortable. You don't have to feel like it can work. It's a completely different matter, I believe.
Yeah, 100%. And this is what I tell those who are interested in counseling and they do a discovery call with me. You have to have a rapport or a connection with your therapist, because otherwise therapy just doesn't work. So you need to form what we call a therapeutic alliance, and that will really help you make progress. And I know for myself, I've tried different therapists as well, and there's nothing wrong with sampling in order to find the right one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And now at this present time, the community is grieving the loss of Gemma, who I didn't know, but I understand how many people are feeling at this moment. And I would suggest therapy, but I also would suggest to do the therapy in your native language if your level of English is not that good. I know within the industry are many people who are not English native speakers. I am not an English native speaker, but at the time I had the choice between Spanish and English, so I went for English because it's the language I speak the most. But I'm Italian, and now I'm in Italy, I'm actually looking for an Italian therapist. But as I said, just go, if you're not feeling comfortable in speaking in English because you think you cannot explain your emotion that well, just go for a therapist who speaks your native language, and do it online if you have to do it online. It is different, obviously, but it's a huge help. It's better than doing nothing.
Yes, definitely. Good tip there, Valerica. And did you engage in a grief ritual?
Oh, many. I didn't realize I was doing it, but yeah. I really think it comes natural if you're going through grief. I mean, there are people who do not go through grief, they do not acknowledge it, they just keep it in the corner there, and they think, okay, I'll do it later, I'll deal with it later. No, it wasn't my case. I just embraced it all thing. So I find myself wearing my mum's ring. I don't wear rings, I don't wear jewellery, but I did wear my mum's ring for a year. My sister gave it to me. She said to me, I think it suits you. And I just put it on. And every time I was taking a shower, obviously I was taking it off. And then I was feeling like almost naked because my mum's ring wasn't on my hand. So I did that for a year. But my mum wasn't a great cook, although she was Italian. And so I decided during weekends to cook my mum's best dishes. That was a way to go through grief. And when I'm in Italy, I cook with my nephews because I have a sister who's got two kids, and we do mum's lasagna, mum's recipes, and that sort of stuff. But the biggest ritual for me is music, because music plays a huge part in my life, and it was a huge part of mum's life as well. So I found myself, the day I was told mum passed, I found myself listening to mum's music all day long. It was just a natural impulse, I guess. And I still do when, her birthday, my birthday, or anniversary, that sort of celebrations. My sisters as well, she listened to mum's music. But yeah, when I say we, my sister and I, we engaged in rituals. But I really believe it was a natural thing. We didn't think it through. It was just something we did. It makes you feel better. It is true. It eases your pain. It calms down your emotions. I found myself having a nervous breakdown after 2 years because I was working too much. Because that was my work anyway. I was running my own business, so I couldn't really stop, and life goes on, obviously. And after 2 years, I had a nervous breakdown because I wasn't sleeping anymore. I wasn't eating properly. So I had to stop. So I found rituals very helpful because they calm you down. They you release stress. You release stress in a way. They do help a lot.
I'm so pleased to hear that because I had a similar experience, and I haven't really experienced grief in my life with regards to just losing someone close to me. But just with Gemma, how you mentioned it just came naturally. She loves flowers, and she's very talented in floristry. And I just found myself, since her passing, observing the beauty in flowers. And I used to do that before, but now it's just so different because it's almost like the flower is Gemma and I have more appreciation. And I'm someone that just goes all the time. I don't stop. And it's becoming a beautiful symbol in my life. And I can see how you can incorporate someone that you've lost in your everyday life in the present moment. And I think that's what makes it so much easier, because when you don't have that person anymore, the void is so painful. But if you can bring it back in a very special and symbolic way, then that eases that void.
Yeah, it's definitely like that. It really is. I found that my rituals changed throughout the years. Like the first year with mum's ring, and music has always been there, but the ring, I wore the ring for a year, and then I was buying flowers once a week because mum loves flowers. And then a couple of years ago, I found myself walking through one of those Christmas shops, and I hate Christmas, but she loved Christmas. So, It does change. It does change throughout the process of grief. The steps, the stages of grief, there are different stages of grief, and you have to go through them your own way.
Yeah, I think it's important, excuse me, with regards to that, not to judge yourself with the different stages, because obviously anger is part of that stage. And
absolutely,
we can feel, what's the right word, distress that we're perhaps feeling angry, and we might put pressure ourselves to feel sad rather than angry. So we may feel a little bit confused by it, but that is a very common stage. And as Federica said in the very beginning of this conversation, you need to sit with those feelings and you need to write them through.
Yeah, I don't usually write a diary, but I kept a diary for a while. It was very difficult for me because it's not something that comes naturally for me. And it helped. It really did. Because if I read it now, I can see myself going through denial, anger, and all that. But yeah, it is when you feel angry, you feel in stress because you don't know what to do. And you snap at people for no reason, no apparent reason. There's no trigger because the trigger is the loss. So anything could make you snap. And you know, I remember that I was feeling so in distress one day that I actually had to punch a door because I didn't know what to do to break the circle. I mean, I broke the glass, but I broke the circle as well, so it worked. I'm not suggesting people to go around punching doors, but it can get that distressful. It can get that. And at the time, I was single. I was working by myself, and it was not easy to keep everything to myself. You know, I was going to therapy once a week or every fortnight. So sometimes it was challenging.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is that it can be quite harmful to you if you bottle it up. It needs to come out somehow.
Yeah. I mean, my dad, for instance, hasn't managed to work through his grief yet. That's quite a lot. And we don't know how to tackle this anymore. We tried many ways, many times. But he's just convinced that it's fine.
Would you say that going through a grieving process is a choice? So we may experience resistance because we don't want to, let's say, I'm putting inverted commas here, let go of the person that's grieving. So it is deception.
You have to decide to embrace it and work through it. I guess in my father's case, he doesn't want to move forward because he feels guilty of letting my mum go. And I think it's quite common, to be honest, but it's excruciating to watch and to talk to him. Obviously, as my father, I know him, and to talk to him, it's just painful because I can feel his pain, but there's nothing I can do. If somebody doesn't want to go through grief, you can't really do anything about it. But I think it would help a lot to change the way we talk about death, loss, and grief, because the way we talk influences a lot the way we think. And if we start seeing death as a natural part of life, I mean, in the end, death defines life. So if we start talking about loss and grief in a more, I mean, there's no positive way, obviously, but in a more, I don't know, soothing way,
loving way,
it would be probably something easier to embrace. And people would probably not be that resistant towards the idea of embracing their emotions. I'm not saying it's easy to do, but I think collectively we could change the way we talk about it. Because I believe in some communities it's still a taboo. And it depends where you're from, your background, language you speak, Like, for instance, I am from Italy, which is a Catholic country. But I lived in the UK for many years. I lived in Australia, I lived in Spain for almost a decade. I speak different languages, and my mindset is some of these mindsets, because each language brings you a mindset and a different way of thinking. But and on top of that, I'm an atheist. So whenever I talk about grief with my Italian mates, I can see my approach is completely different, because I tend to celebrate my mum's life, and I think about my, for instance, the ritual I have with the cooking. I feel like I am, I am, kind of. How do you say in English? I'm using a legacy. I'm passing on to other people a legacy, just with cooking. But from some of my Italian friends, it's very depressing, because you get to eat something that she's not enjoying. So it's different mindset. So I think if we collectively start talking about death and loss in a different way, it will be easy to go through grief. But then again, that's my opinion. It's not a
No,
fact.
I agree with you. I completely agree with you. Federica, do you have any parting words, or you've given us so much advice and great tips here. Anything else you want to add before we go?
I think I would suggest people do not hold their breath during the storm. I think about grief as a storm at the beginning, then it starts raining, and then it's just a matter of surfing the waves. You will learn to surf the wave. At the beginning, you probably dive a bit, but don't hold your breath. Keep breathing, keep swimming. You will be able to surf the waves, and the waves will come back for the rest of your lives. So, 1 year you will be feeling horrible on your birthday, then the following year you'll be fine on your birthday, but you will be horrible, you will be feeling horrible at Christmas. So, but you will recognize a wave and you will surf the wave, so you'll be fine. Just embrace your emotion and you will be feeling better at some point. I guarantee that. I know I did, and I am feeling better.
Beautiful. So well said. Thank you so much again, Valerica, for showing up. I know that it's nerve-wracking, especially when you know it's for the radio. So I really appreciate you being here and sharing your experience, because I know that deep down you really wanted to help our community who has been impacted by Gemma's loss. So thanks again.
Thank you very much, and take care.